On the air, online, from New York City, border to border, and coast to coast, you're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Well, here we are. Hi, how are you? Welcome to the Big Radio Show on this Thursday, the 30th day of August, year of our Lord, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, and it's a normally hot 97 degrees in Phoenix, Arizona right now, and all the television cablers are doing wall-to-wall coverage, of course, on John McCain and his funeral. His service has just completed over at the North Phoenix Baptist Church, and his body, the hearse, has arrived at the airport in Phoenix, where they will board the casket momentarily on what looks like it's from the same fleet. It's an Air Force jet painted in the white and blue with United States of America on it. Not Air Force One, of course, unless the president's on board. But this is very presidential. I've spoke about it before, and I try to be a little bit sensitive here. But even the media is going. It was interesting because John McCain planned a lot of this funeral, a lot of it, and so, which I don't know. He knew he was dying. He had terminal brain cancer, but New York Times is reporting that once he found out that he had terminal brain cancer, he began convening meetings every Friday in his Capitol Hill office with a group of trusted aides, and the subject was planning his funeral. So, I mean, I would listen to the sound of this, but there's no sound other than it's a television story. The military is lined up. I don't know who's in the background, but it's at least 100, maybe 200-300 people in uniform, and I don't know. It's a dark uniform. They're standing out in the sun. You wonder how long they've been standing there. But the military entourage that is there to move his casket is moving it out of the hearse right now, and we'll board it on this Air Force jet that will bring his body to Washington, D.C., where the rest of, I mean, this is the second, really, of 5 days where you're going to see lots of John McCain footage because of the fact that it is today in Phoenix and tomorrow in Washington. Body will lie in state at the U.S. Capitol building tomorrow. Memorial service will be conducted on Saturday at the National Cathedral. That's where President Obama and President George W. Bush are expected to be speakers. And then on Sunday is a private funeral service at the Academy, Naval Academy in Annapolis. So I don't know. There's no sound. You can hear kind of the background of, I don't know what it is, not jet engines, generators, auxiliary power units, whatever they might be, but it is a hot day, as you normally would expect in late August in Phoenix, Arizona, and they are hand-carrying the casket over to a truck that is able to lift the casket up to the level of the plane. Kind of like a catering truck, but it's not that. But that will give them the ability to put the casket on, then have it lift up to the plane, and then we'll take him to the body to Washington, D.C. If you're a religious person, you know he's not there. He's moved on. He's changed addresses. But for the purposes of, I don't know, you like to use the word closure, but there is something cathartic about a funeral that kind of drives it home that this person has passed on. Their days here on Earth are over. And I don't know. I find funerals to be very interesting. I don't go to many. I've only gone to actually a very, very few in my life. And but there's always something interesting about funerals. This funeral service today in Phoenix was fascinating because the people that spoke, it was a real variety of people that spoke. Grant Woods, who was his first time chief of staff, went on, I believe, to be the attorney general in Arizona, but just told one funny story after another. People were laughing. I mean, it was like a comedy club. It was hilarious. So he spoke, and Larry Fitzgerald from the Arizona Cardinals, professional football player, spoke. Joe Biden spoke. And what I find interesting about funerals is that even if it's somebody in your family, somebody you know, a brother, a sister, a mother, a father, it is, you go to a funeral and people that in this case knew John McCain, some people knew him from his military days, some people knew him from his political days, some people used to work for him, some people used to be his neighbors. And you get stories from in your lifetime. You have met people from all kinds of different angles, and they don't know all of the people that you know. You know everybody, but you'd have friends from work. You've got friends from down the street. You got friends from where you grew up. The list goes on and on and on. So you get all these people, and they get up, and they tell stories. They will tell stories about you. And other people there, including family members, will go, I didn't know that. I had no idea. So funerals they reveal a lot about a person's life. And so I don't go to them to be entertained. I go to a funeral out of respect for the person that has passed away. But I find them to be, I don't know. And this was an interesting, this it was not that untypical of just everybody. When you go to a funeral, people from different walks of life that knew the person from different places will get up and say things, and you had no idea. You had no idea that was something that this person who's now passed did. Everything, of course, is positive. Everything about John McCain, my gosh, I thought John McCain was listening to this service, of course, was the best person ever on earth. But you know that's not true, and he knew that wasn't true. But you don't go over their flaws at a funeral. You talk about the funny moments. You talk about the serious moments. Anyway, funerals make me pause. And it makes me think about my own mortality. We are all mortal. We are all going to have our day where we are going to go. I don't know if you want to plan your funeral like John McCain. He had meetings every Friday with his staff. New York Times says he obsessed over the music. He selected the Irish ballad Danny Boy. Several patriotic hymns. The service ended on Frank Sinatra's I Did It My Way. He choreographed the movements of the coffin from Arizona to Washington. He reached out to Republicans and Democrats and even a Russian dissident. A what? A Russian? With requests that they deliver eulogies and serve as pallbearers. So advisors suggested that his coffin should lie in state at the Arizona Capitol. McCain said he believed the legislature would never approve such a rare honor. So it was something that he decided to do. I I don't know of many people who get the opportunity to plan their own funeral. I don't know of many people who do plan. I don't think I've ever met anybody who's planned their own funeral. So it's a moment that I think also, again, it reminds us, whether we like to think about it or not, that we're only here for a while. We, too, will be in one of those boxes. I don't know if you're going to have a service or not. I have no idea. I could not imagine planning my own funeral. So, I don't know, do you get that sort of feeling when you go to a funeral? And yet at the same time, oh my gosh, yesterday they showed as they brought the casket into the Arizona State Capitol, and the media was there, and they showed Cindy McCain, who is, you know, trying to be the strong widow, and she's doing a good job of it. But when she walked up to the casket and put her hands on it, I'm telling you, I'm watching it by myself in front of a TV, and my eyes welled up. And then the children, one by one, came up to touch the coffin. It was heartbreaking. I have some family that are buried at Arlington. If you ever go to Arlington National Cemetery, it doesn't matter. I don't even know who the service is for. But you'll look over somewhere at Arlington and you'll see a military funeral going on. I don't even know who they are, and it chokes me up every time. So it's an interesting part of life. Death is part of life. And it's interesting to observe it. In this case, we observe it about a man that we knew from afar. But I think it brings home again this whole business about what people will say about you, whether you want to plan your own funeral, because you're going to die. We all are. We just don't know when. I feel sorry for all those people in uniform there at the airport. It is hot, and they're standing at attention. Phone number is 855-295-6600. 855-295-6600. Be right back.
The real world and you meet here. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
Number of troops that are standing out in the sun, I guess they're used to it because it's the Arizona National Guard, Air Force and Army, and they're out there saluting John McCain, and it is a hot 97 degrees, and they're in their uniforms. Interesting, no hats, which I've obviously they have some rule there where they can take their hats off because of the extreme heat. So I find funerals to be fascinating. Let me just put it that way. And I always, like I said, I've been to my mother's, my father's, my mother-in-law, father-in-law. I mean, you hear things about them that you never knew. Your own parents. You never knew because their friends will tell you something about something that they did or said years before. The stories from Grant Wood, I think, are absolutely hilarious. I'll try and relay some of that to you here in a moment. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Will in Sacramento. Hello, Will.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
What I wanted to say is, so I belong to a law enforcement agency for the state, in which I'm not going to disclose, but I have no prior military service. I went to multiple funerals over the years of my career with coworkers who, you know, died of various reasons, you know, before their time. The last one I went to was another scenario such as that, and he was a higher-ranking, you know, person in my agency. Now, I've seen gun salutes on TV and at military services, in which I've never attended. And this was the first time ever there was a gun salute in one of these ceremonies. And the gun salute itself is where I actually teared up. It actually touched me. And yeah. I never experienced anything like that before in my life.
Yeah.
Now, what I can say about John McCain's services are, it's almost like he's an ex-president, but it seems a little bit more, it seems like it's a little bit more extravagant than Reagan's funeral. And you know, I mean, hey, you know, I say well-deserved. I mean, his service throughout the country. And I'm a Democratic voter. I'll probably never vote Republican. However, I did admire the fact that when I saw the other Republican politicians not really stand up to Trump a whole lot, and this country's been through a big change since he's been president, John McCain came out, even though he was, you know, going through his health issues. He actually came out and stood up and showed everybody that, hey, we're supposed to be having these checks and balances, regardless of the party we belong to, when it yeah. comes to being a congressman, senator, or the president.
Well, Joe Biden talked about that today, and how you know, McCain was a guy who stood on tradition, stood on rules, stood on the way things normally are done. Some people thought maybe he was taking a swipe at Trump, but I don't think so. I think he was just saying McCain's out kind of guy. He was a very strapped guy from the military, and he never lost that. He just thought the office of the president, no matter who's in it, is the office of the president, and the flag is the flag. And I mean, go right down the list of things that he was just a huge patriot, big patriot. So, and I think he saw enough people come and go from offices in Washington that he knows that it's just a passing show. It just is. You know, somebody else will be president someday. But, I think that's what he stood for. And that's why he got so mad about the Obamacare vote, was that it wasn't done under due process or due order. And that was his complaint. He wasn't talking about the mechanics of Obamacare. He was talking about the fact that it didn't go through the hearings that it's supposed to go through. So, yeah, he's a unique guy. Unique guy. And I'll tell you, Will, I'm with you. I mean, like I said, I will be someplace where I will see a military funeral, and I don't even know who's getting buried, and it chokes me up. It just does. So, and it's the same if you're in law enforcement, it's the same thing there, my friend. Sadly, you know, you will have your turn at law enforcement funerals, and it's, you know, quasi-military. It's the same sort of thing. Very, very touching. Always gets right to your heart. But anyway, I do appreciate your call. Appreciate your service. Thank you. Phone number here is 855-295-6600. Tell you some of these stories that Grant Woods told. I'll try to remember some of them. They were absolutely... He had the church laughing, which I always find weird at funerals.
He likes it when you talk back. Tom Sullivan.
So the McCain, this is the second day out of five. McCain service is held today at the... North Phoenix Baptist Church, and at the service, Grant Woods, who was John McCain's first chief of staff, got up and told the story. He said he was 28 years old when McCain asked him to be his chief of staff when he was first elected to the House of Representatives. And on the first day, McCain picked him up at his house, and Woods said he assumed that he would slide in behind the wheel and drive at that time the congressman. But McCain insisted on driving, and he said, I thought, the staff was supposed to do the driving, and he said McCain insisted. So he said during the ride, he says they talked about football and the news of the day, and he said it was actually quite terrifying because McCain was absolutely the worst driver ever, and got a round of laugh from all of that. He also talked about, he said one time, he says, Wood said he had this one little blip one time when he ran for the Senate for the first time. He said he called me, he said, well, I might have screwed up. And he said that he referred to the Arizona retirement community of Leisure World as Seizure World, angering older voters. And Woods remembered saying, "I, you didn't say that, did you?" He says, they weren't real happy with their new nickname. So McCain told him that we needed to make an appearance. He goes, we? So he says, we went up there, and I remember we drove in, and there was a 90-year-old guy in a golf cart, and he gave us the finger. And he said it was, John McCain said, that's great. And he went on to win that precinct in that election by a large margin. So, funny stories. But that's what happens at funerals. Funny things, even though it's somber. 855-295-6600. Chris in Tacoma, Washington. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Great.
Good topic. It's a, you know, I was a senior officer in the military when I retired, and one of the most, before I was in the military, when I was in grade school, I was an altar boy. You know, I used to serve funerals because you get paid to do it. You usually get
right.
hit by the family, and
right.
never thought much of them.
Right.
And then finally, when I was in the Army, my first soldier died under my command, and I had to present the flag, and you go through it. You know, they teach you a little bit about that in ROTC in training and stuff, how to handle it. And I thought, well, I'll be fine. And then I had to present the flag to the parents, and it was right after they played Taps, and I had tears in my eyes. You can't wear sunglasses or anything like that. That's not part
right.
of
it. Right.
You know, dress blue uniform. And, wow, it was rather startling. My reaction. I didn't think I'd have my
well,
emotional reaction.
I find it interesting because I, too, was an altar boy, and I, too, said no problem, and I would sign up for the weddings and funerals because we got tips for doing so.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I never had any emotional reaction at all at any funeral when I was an altar boy. But.
No, neither did I.
I was I'm also. I was.
Open casket.
I was also in charge of a funeral group. My commanding officer called me and said, you're in charge of us. These are the guys that you're going to have and brush up on the procedure. So we got out, you know, the books and all that. And I'm standing there and they're folding the flag over the casket. I didn't know who this guy was. I didn't know him. Obviously, I knew who he was from the information they gave me, but I had no connection to this guy. But when they handed me the flag and I had to turn around and bring it over to the widow, oh, it took everything I had not to break down. I didn't know. The same thing. It's something about a military funeral that is just gut-wrenching for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, one of my soldiers ended up dying and getting buried at Arlington. And the saddest thing about that was he had been an orphan, grew up in a group home, and had absolutely zero. He wasn't married, no brothers and sisters. Nobody showed up for his funeral except for a few of us from his unit. And
wow.
That was pretty
yeah.
Pretty much a bummer, but you just have to remain strong. It's really a trip.
That is sad.
But
I don't know. I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. I don't know why it's so hard, but it is hard. So, very difficult.
Every time I see a military funeral, I'm the same way. My eyes well up.
Yeah.
It's I'm good until they play Taps, you know, after they do the gun salute. And then after that, I'm like, whoa, breathe.
Well, like I said, if you
yeah,
ever, you know,
you.
If you're ever at a military funeral, well, especially if you go to Arlington, like I said, I've got some family members that are buried at Arlington, so we go there once in a while, not very often, and it doesn't matter. Wherever they have a service going on, I choke up. Anyway, yeah. Chris, thanks. Appreciate the call very much. Let's get Troy in here from California. Hi, Troy. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hi, Tom. I'd like to say thank you very much for taking my call. I greatly appreciate and respect your views and opinions.
Thank you.
I would say something about John McCain. He was a breed that no longer exists. The man had integrity. He didn't care the outcome, the circumstance, the condition of what he felt in his heart, but he let people know what he felt. And
true.
Without, in my opinion, I'm listening to callers talk about military funerals and what have you, and I agree. And to the previous caller just before me, trust me, my brother in arms, we were all there at that man's funeral. Trust me. In regards to seeing things that are impressive, if one has not seen the changing of the guard at the tomb of the unknown soldier, please do so.
Yeah.
If that doesn't bring to your eyes, nothing will. Very impressive. Very impressive. And I suggest everybody do so.
So I'll tell you where my family's buried at Arlington. It's literally on the slight uprise of the grounds behind where they do the ceremony for the changing of the guard. It's right behind it. Right there.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Beautiful right there. Oh, my goodness.
Yep. That's where they're buried. And so when we go to their grave sites, yes, there's the changing of the guard is right there. And it goes on, doesn't matter, winter, summer, snowing, raining, hot. It goes on with precision. All day, all night. It's amazing to watch.
It's just up to their brothers and sisters in arms protect our country, regardless of whatever they're doing.
Yep, absolutely. Troy, thank you. Thank you for your service, too. I appreciate it. I just think, just funerals in general, though. You go to a funeral, civilian funeral, doesn't have to be military. Military chokes me up. And law enforcement. Unfortunately, I've been to a couple of law enforcement funerals. But they just go to any, just go to a funeral service for somebody that you worked with, and you hear things and find out things about that person you never ever knew, and there's nothing you can do about it because they're gone. You can't talk to them about it, you can't joke with them about it, you can't thank them for whatever you hear. You can't do anything. It's just information that you never knew about somebody that you were close to. Get Stella in here from Reno, Nevada. Stella, hi, welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Oh, Mr. Sullivan, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My perspective is very different than your caller's. I think he had a huge ego. Now that you tell me that he planned it and it's gone on every day for 7 or 8 days, I respect the military. I respect the police. I thank them every time I see them. I understand the family situation, but to put this on that long is kind of egotistical.
Well, I've never met anybody that has planned their own funeral, so I don't know. But you got to look at. I got to tell you something. If you're going to be run for political office, you got to have a big ego, no question about it. Stella, I got to hit my break, but I thank you very much.
Opinions that matter. Radio that makes you think. Tom Sullivan.
Got a question for you. So we have 5 living presidents. Jimmy Carter, who I saw an interview with the other day, he was doing another one of these. Didn't he just survive cancer? He was supposed to be, you know, 90, I think 93, and he had a big bout with cancer, and he looked great. I mean, he looked 93, but he was out at one of these Habitat for Humanity sites swinging a hammer. 93-year-old guy. And I did not care for him as president, but he's another guy you look at and you go, I admire the man. So we got Jimmy Carter, George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama. When they pass on, what kind of media coverage, what kind of services, what type of pomp and circumstance will there be for Jimmy Carter? And for HW and for Clinton and for W and Obama. I mean, those days are going to come. We got five living presidents. I do think this was very much like a president service as opposed to a senator, but this is what he wanted. Rob in Chelan, Washington. Hello, Rob. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hi, Tom. Good to talk to you. I was just telling your screen, I was a trumpet player in the 2nd Armored Division Band in Fort Hood, Texas, and I played for 69 funerals during that period of time, and they were all perfect. I mean, they were the best funeral that you could possibly have as far as I was concerned.
So you're the guy that played taps?
I'm the guy that played taps. In fact, it was back then, you know, you had to keep your mouthpiece in your pocket, especially in the wintertime, to keep it warm so you didn't split the notes when you put your mouth to that mouthpiece. And and I was telling your screener, I said, I went to a funeral down in Quincy, Washington, where it was a military funeral. Guy died. He was a, you know, just enlisted guy. But the guy that played taps, I mean, I've never heard it played so perfect in my life. And I went up to him, I said, man, how long have you been playing the trumpet? Because I told him I'd played, you know, for 69 funerals. And he goes,
right.
Well, I'm not even a musician. He says, all the trumpets now are all electronic. You just push the button and you stand there and look like you're playing. It's all pre-recorded.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. I was just totally blown away. I'm thinking, wow, I mean, what happened? So then I find out that most of the bands are gone since Obama's time. He got rid of most of the military bands. So I think it's a tragedy.
Oh, you're kidding me. And you played trumpet, and you could not tell the difference. That's pretty amazing.
Whoever recorded it, well, you had to be a studio recording, and then they just put the speaker in the trumpet. I mean, you look at these trumpets. They're gorgeous. All pure chrome, fabulous-looking instrument. And yet,
yeah.
They're not played by a human. They're played by an electronic device.
But there's a guy holding it, making it look like he's playing it.
Yeah, so he's in his Class A's, you know, holding the trumpet stand. And, you know, back when I played, you had to hide behind a tree or a tall headstone or something that,
right,
you know, people didn't see the trumpet player, but this guy stood right out there in the open, and I thought, well, that was really different. Of course, they can't make a mistake.
That is amazing. I had no idea. So, wow. And I don't know. I've picked up a few instruments like that, the clarinet, saxophone, trumpet. I cannot make those things make any kind of sound. I don't know. You guys have a special talent, obviously.
Take some practice, let me tell you. But the deal with McCain's funeral, because he was military, of course they're going to give him all the high-end funeral benefits you can get. So, unless you've been to a military funeral, you really haven't seen anything. I'm telling you, it's really spectacular.
Well, when my father-in-law passed away, I remember my mother-in-law was working with Arlington, and I think they gave her some choices about, well, do you want the whole enchilada, or do you want the lower fanfare? And so you get to pick a little bit of what it is that you want. But
my dad was in the Air Force. He was a colonel, and he died, and we buried him in Wenatchee, and for, because he was the base commander at Larson Air Force Base, McCord, Fairchild, all the ones up here in Washington, and when he died, they had those F-16s fly over in perfect harmony, and the C-141s and B-52s, because he was involved with all that stuff. It was pretty spectacular. When Atchie was running, they're getting invaded by the military, but it was great to see all these aircraft fly in formation.
That's what happens when the base commander passes away. They drag out all the pomp and circumstance. So, well, good. Good, good, good. So, again, funerals are not for the dead; they're for the people that you leave behind, right? Isn't that what it's about?
And they earned it because they sure put their life on the line for serving this country to protect.
Absolutely.
I appreciate talking to you.
Well, real quick question. So you played? Did you get emotionally attached to the funeral? Because you could not. You had to be straight up on do your job and play taps without any breakdown, right?
Well, no, it depends on how the funeral, who was the minister, giving all the eulogy and all that stuff, and the family there, you can see the emotion of the family, and they have them all sitting right up front next to the casket. But no, it's a little tough to keep from being emotional playing the trumpet, but you really gotta suck it up. Let me tell you, it's a pretty amazing deal.
I would imagine you did. But hey, Rob, thank you for your service too. I appreciate your call. Fake trumpets. Wait till Trump gets new word of fake trumpets. Henry in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Hi, Henry. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for listening.
You bet.
Anyway, I wanted to comment on the woman that called you before the break on what she said about the ego and all this big deal. And I was thinking the same thing before that. But then I also thought that even if the funeral was played out exactly to the letter the way he planned it, I'm not even sure if the taxpayers are responsible for it or not. But even if we are, I think the nation at the very least owes him that. And even if everything was played out as prescribed, we would still be in the senator's debt and in his family to this, for this country.
Yeah. Military funerals are picked up by the military, by the way. There is no charge for a official military funeral. So it is one of the, sorry to say it that way, but it's one of the benefits that you get if you serve this country in the military. So he's a senator. He's a big politician. He ran for president. I don't think any of those people that want to reach out to be president or want to be a senator or any of those things, they all have a certain amount of ego. My gosh, in this business, all of us in broadcasting are guilty of sin of a big ego. I mean, it just is what it is, but you're right. The man served our country. He suffered. So did a lot of people. That, I think, is the only thing. So did a lot of people. But it is... there's more than just John McCain's funeral going on here. This is a tribute to the military.